Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Many children and teens use computer games to calm themselves down and relax. But if that's the only way for them to be calm, that's a problem. We'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast, episode number 45, titled Kids Need Emotional Regulation Skills. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown. And I'm here to help you create that enjoyable family you work for every single day. And for those looking for help with their parenting and relationship challenges, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and download my free Parent Burnout Recovery Guide. Today we're hearing from Stephanie from Sunnyvale, California. But before we do, please remember, this is an educational podcast. It's not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Stephanie writes, "Our son cannot stop playing on the computer or stop watching YouTube. Sometimes it's easier for us to get him to stop when he has a fairly good day at school when he is not so upset. But days where he has a bad day where math is hard and people are difficult to deal with, etc., which means he's quite upset, it's nearly impossible to get him off his devices because he'll yell, scream, break things. We tried turning off the Wi-Fi a few times, but he just got more upset than ever, breaking his bedroom door and other things. We have to be careful because we have two other children who are disturbed by his rages. When we talk to him where we're not in the house, he's more willing to listen and seems almost normal. We just started getting our initial evaluation with a therapist, and we want him to continue going there once a week. We're worried that if we got him so upset by turning off the Wi-Fi that he wouldn't want to go. We're thinking that if he goes to talk to the therapist once a week outside of the house, when he's calm, there's a better chance of him accepting the rules and boundaries and our authority, eventually turning things around. What else can we do? Please help." Well, thanks for your question, Stephanie, and your situation sounds quite critical. You don't mention the age of your son, so it's hard to give very specific advice, but it sounds to me like your son is perhaps in the sixth grade, maybe the fifth or the seventh. You don't mention how he's doing in school, behaviorally or academically, so it's hard to know how much of the out-of-control behavior you are seeing he is able to manage in school. Still, it could be very stressful for him to manage school, and then he comes home and he self-soothes on his computer or acts out with rage and violence. The bottom line here is that your son is not regulating his emotions. He may not be able to. He may not know how to. Now, currently, he has broken through what I call parental control. So where kids lack self-regulation or self-control, well, that's why we have parents. Then they have parental regulation and parental control until they learn it. Well, right now, your son doesn't have either, so he isn't learning self-regulation. As kids get into their older teen years and young adulthoods, if they haven't learned self-control and there isn't parental control, then what they're going to face is societal control. And that can come in the form of police officers and judges and probation officers. That's not where we want this to go, right? Now, other serious impacts, Stephanie, from your son's emotional dysregulation disorder include trauma to your two other children from his rages and the trauma and parental burnout you and your husband are no doubt experiencing. So we could say that your son's emotional dysregulation disorder is seriously undermining his development and causing trauma throughout the family, trauma that will affect his younger siblings possibly for life. And it's compromising you and your husband's mental health and quality of life as well. So now is the time to find a way to help your son develop self-control and emotional regulation skills. Stephanie, right now, your husband and you are in a major control battle with your son. You're trying to get him to accept some limits and follow some rules, and he's fighting you and even being violent to resist you. He is in a state of constant resistance, and you are in a state of constantly walking on eggshells. And now you're hoping that going to a therapist once a week will make him more amenable to accepting limits. Seeing a therapist could be a good starting point, but that by itself is not going to do it. Your situation is way beyond once a week individual therapy. It is not going to end the control battle. And as long as you are in a control battle paradigm, all the things that you do are not going to solve the problem or create real change. So, that being said, Stephanie, don't lose hope. Here's a way forward. Ready? Here we go. First thing is to know what's going on with him. What is driving the behavior? Are there neurological issues, such as a lack of executive function or that part of the brain that regulates emotions? Have there been traumatic events in his life? Are there serious learning disabilities or serious ADHD or a psychiatric disorder that could be contributing to or driving the behavior? So step one is finding out what's going on and what's driving it. That will need to include neuropsychological testing by a qualified psychologist and very likely an evaluation by a pediatric psychiatrist and or a pediatric neurologist. And hopefully the therapist who is seeing and assessing him will recommend that. And that person will have some high quality referrals for you. All right, step two is to get your son to understand that the overwhelming emotions he is experiencing need to be managed by him. They are his emotions. And it is his responsibility to manage his emotions. As parents, you can understand and validate and empathize with his feelings, but his parents can't control or be controlled by his feelings. Parents need to set some reasonable limits, rules, and expectations using their best judgment, and kids need to be accountable to those limits, rules, and expectations. As parents, you can support your son in managing his rage, but it is his job to control his feelings and his behavior. They belong to him. We can communicate all this very supportively. We can let your son know that we care about how hard things are for him and that it's important to you, that he's important to you, and he is an important person, and that we appreciate his strengths and his talents. And because of that, we're going to support him in growing and learning to understand and manage his emotions. That's our job, is to focus on that and make sure that he understands that he needs to learn that. All right, step three, once the assessment is complete, is to get a treatment plan. Now, the plan can include family therapy. It'll need to include family therapy, individual therapy, very likely medication, and possibly neurofeedback or something exotic like that. As parents, you will need a strategy to both support your son and set limits with your son. You need to become what I'm going to call empowered parents. You need to get off of eggshells. You might want to have your other children stay at a friend or relative's house for a couple of nights until you establish a new behavioral standard with your son. If he acts out and commits violence against his parents or his property, you might want to call your local police. Now, don't get upset. Just they can come and support the message that violence is unacceptable. They might listen to someone. Your son might listen to someone wearing a uniform. Now, Stephanie, let me offer you this. If none of this works, your son won't cooperate with testing, Your new empowered parenting approach doesn't stem the violence. Trauma and a parent-child, parent-teen control battle persists. Then it's time to consider an out-of-home placement. I think that our plan can work, but if it doesn't, we can do something that will get your son to get himself under control. You'll be able to get him assessed, and you and your husband and your other kids can get your mental health and a new healthy family dynamic started. The process of growth and change can happen while your son gets intensive treatment and you establish an empowered parenting approach. And let me also be clear that if you or any parents are considering a residential placement, whether it's a short-term intervention and an assessment program, or it's a moderate or a longer-term program, always work with a licensed professional to do the placement. They should have at least 10 years of experience. They should visit the placements regularly. They should have an advanced degree in the mental health field and have expertise in child and adolescent development. Trying to choose a placement on your own is like throwing darts for one of the most important decisions of your child's life. Stephanie, thanks for sending us your question. And here's my challenge to all of us. While Stephanie's son is struggling with serious emotional regulation issues, how are our emotional regulation skills? How are we doing teaching them to our children? Are we clear that learning emotional regulation is an important and learned behavior? Let's do this. Find a couple of times during the week where the family comes together, no devices. Now, make this family centering time. Maybe it's 10 minutes before we sit down for dinner. You do eat dinner together, don't you? Ha. Well, that's an important thing to do. And I know people have crazy schedules and practices and late nights, but let's get it in there at least some of the time. Maybe we'll take our 10 minutes before we watch a family movie. Everyone in this time takes a minute of silence and breathes and focuses on the moment. Now, everyone thinks of one thing they're grateful for in their life today and shares it out loud. In this way, we're calming ourselves down, we're getting in the moment, we're connecting with ourselves, we're connecting with each other. There is a ton written on the subject of mindfulness these days, and there's mindfulness for children and mindfulness for teens too, and this can be a very positive element in supporting learning healthy emotional management skills. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everyone, and once again, special thanks to Stephanie for her urgent question. And in support of parents looking to find a more empowered parenting approach, an approach that is clear, confident, and yet supportive and validating, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and sign up for my new 6-week online empowered parenting workshop. And while you're there, sign up for my weekly email where you will receive my weekly blog or podcast, and I'd love to have a chance to answer your question that you can submit there as well. Also, do you know someone who might benefit from reading my book, Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle? It's a powerful, change-oriented book, and it's readily available, inexpensive, and could make a big difference in someone's life. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parent-Teen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.